Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, New Jersey's only on-air online program that discusses and provides educational information about our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny, and today we have, we're going to be speaking with Kathy Schroeder, who is a lead instructor with the American Red Cross, and we're going to be talking about some topics that are very important for the health and well-being of your dog, you know, disaster, medical preparedness, poisoning, first aid, and so on and so forth. If you're a first-time listener and you want to catch up on hearing some of our previous shows, you can go to either my website or Rini, my co-host's website. Her website is www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and my website is www.thedogsupernanny.com. Each week we speak with veterinarians, trainers, and all kinds of people in the dog care industry, nutritionists, and so forth, so we can provide you with the latest news and updates and care for your companion pet. We've talked a lot about, you know, what to do in emergencies in the past, but you know what? It's been a while, and we're going to take a brief break. But when we get back, we're going to speak with Kathy, and she's going to kind of give us an update on what's new in, you know, taking care of our pets during a disaster, first aid, so that we can all, you know, be able to provide our dog with that necessary care between, you know, that disaster and actually getting it to the vet. So we'll be back in about a half a minute, and in the meantime, relax and listen to some of the services that I offer in the Central New Jersey area.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and you're listening to Thursday in the Doghouse. Each week we talk to veterinarians and trainers. I work with puppies, adolescents, adopted rescues, basic obedience training we discuss. But today we're going to be speaking about pet first aid. And I'm very happy and honored to have Kathy Schroeder, who's a lead instructor for the American Red Cross. And she's going to be kind of going through point for point how we can, you know, prepare our dogs for a medical emergency or a disaster, and the necessary steps that we might need to take if something happens to our dog, and, you know, in between getting it, you know, from the home or from that place of emergency to the veterinarian's office. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you, Karen.
Oh, it's great to have you. We had spoken briefly over the weekend about some of the topics that we were going to discuss, and one of the top ones that we chatted about was disaster and medical preparedness. What can you tell our audience about both?
Well, thank you, Karen. Thanks for having me. One of the first things I ask in all of my pet first aid classes, the American Red Cross does run cat and dog first aid classes, and I'll give you a website in a little bit as to how people can find that information. But one of the first questions I ask my audience is, number one, is, do you have a first aid kit at home? And if so, do you have a specific one for your animal? And then the second question I always ask is, do you have a preparedness kit for your family? And if so, do you have a separate one for your pet? And the first thing everyone always says is, oh, yeah, I have a first aid kit for myself, but, wow, I didn't think about one for my animal. Mm-hmm. Is it really that much different? And actually, a pet first aid kit really is more extensive than a human pet first aid, than a human first aid kit. And yes, those are available, or you can actually make your own kit. You can put them in a sturdy box or a duffel bag. But some of the extra things that are in a pet first aid kit include, sure, your typical bandages and compresses, but in addition, they might include conforming bandages, which are self-adhesing bandages. You also have very specific cloth tape, which works well with fur, with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
With those first aid kits also, there's things that you want to put in there that are going to help during emergencies, such as tools and utensils. For instance, you want to have an expired credit card in there so that if they get stung by anything, you want to use a credit card to remove that stinger.
Mm.
You want to have needle-nose pliers to assist with removal of foreign body objects, and you want to have something specific like wire cutters. If you're out fishing with your dog and you have your dog with you while you're fishing and they get a fish hook, so you have to be able to cut the barb away on that hook.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into some of your medications and solutions that you want to include that aren't included in a human first aid kit. Epsom salt. You want to include hydrogen peroxide.
What would you use the Epsom salt for?
The Epsom salt helps with inflammation. It can also help with inducing vomiting if you had to in a poisonous situation.
Mm.
Same thing as the hydrogen peroxide, that you would
okay.
mix it with water, mix the solution, and then you'd be able to induce that only if you were instructed to do so.
Right.
Saline solution to wash away their eyes if they get debris in their eyes. And then lastly, you get into some of the other supplies in a first aid kit, your emergency blanket, to be able to, if the animal's in shock or if you have to move the animal,
mm-hmm.
some of your splinting supplies, some actual splinting supplies. Now, the other step is the preparedness part, which is the actual preparedness kit. And a lot of people say, sure, I'm prepared in a disaster. I know how to get out of the house. I know my evacuation route. I have my kit. And then I look at them and I say, but what about your dog? And they said, I didn't think of that. The
right.
preparedness kit that you're looking for your animal is very similar to what it is for you. You want to have water for your animal. You want to have their food. You want to have their bedding, a favorite toy. Information about the vet or the animal hospital, all the emergency numbers. You want to have in that kit any specific information about your animal, if they have medical conditions, if there's something that is specific to the animal. If you have a pet carrier, because it's a small dog or even a cat,
mm-hmm.
and you put that in a pet, and you have a pet carrier, in addition to the pet preparedness kit, you also want to have that carrier available, and inside there you want to have in a plastic, you want to put information about their medications,
mm-hmm.
their medical history, their vaccination records. You
mm-hmm.
want to include a picture of the animal and a picture of the animal with the owner, so that if the animal does become separated from the crate, then at least they can match that up.
Right.
Part of that preparedness is thinking ahead is the phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who am I going to call? Not all shelters will accept animals if you have to evacuate with your animals. So you want to know in advance, where do I go?
Hey,
who
Kathy,
can I call?
I came up with an idea, and I, you know, maybe it's a crazy idea, but like in you know, situations where you know it's really chaotic, or you expect it to be really chaotic, is to take a permanent marker and write your phone number on the dog's belly.
Oh, okay.
What do you think of that?
Well, you know, that falls in line with animal tattooing,
mm-hmm.
because they actually do animal tattooing to indicate the name or number or some kind of information, same as
right.
microchipping. So it's a great, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that goes back to years and years ago. Everyone, they used to say, absolutely, if you have to evacuate an emergency, leave your pet home, they'll be fine, give them food, give them water. And the reality is, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, it is. It is.
These animals could get loose.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to get back in time. So what about the food and the water?
That's true. And, you know, a lot of animals panic. You know, when you know, there's, you know, loud noises going on outside and their owners are missing and, you know, windows are crashing in. I mean, it's natural to want to escape that. And that's why I thought writing the phone number or the dog's name and the phone number, you know, in permanent marker would be, you know, a good idea. And, you know, in the first aid kit, what kind of salves would you, I mean, would you put a salve in there, like a bacitracin ointment? I mean, is that, or like a, there's another one. That salve that they put on cuts and stuff, what's the name of it for us? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know there's a couple different ones out there. And yeah, we absolutely recommend putting some sort of a antibacterial ointment.
Right, and which one would you recommend to keep in there?
Yeah, that we don't make recommendations as far as specific brand names, but we would say some sort of a triple antibiotic ointment that works.
Okay, so what we use for us, it's safe to use on our dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Really? I understand that the American Red Cross offers these first aid kits, so you can purchase one?
Yes, we actually do. We have a pet first aid kit, and we also, in addition, we have a dog first aid book, which comes with a book and a DVD, and we have a cat first aid book, which comes with a book and a DVD, and those are actually available through www.redcross.org. And if a person clicks on the shop, then it'll take it into our website, and they can look for the pet first aid kit, or they can look for the cat and dog first aid books. In addition, if they go to that website and click on take a class, they can actually find classes for both human and pet first aid.
And where are these classes offered? Are they local, or...?
The classes are offered all over because the American Red Cross is a national organization.
Mm-hmm.
There's different training facilities that we have within our buildings, which, again, range from anywhere throughout the United States to some of our community centers that we work with our community partners. The easiest way for somebody to get into a class would just, again, go to www.redcross.org, click on Take a Class. They're going to be instructed to select the class name that they want and the zip code.
Mm-hmm.
So if they put the zip code in, it will pull in everything that's in that area. And somebody can actually then put in what they're willing to travel. So if they want to travel 5 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, 50
right.
miles, 100 miles, it will pull in everything around that specific location.
And generally, how much does the class run?
You know what? That's the only thing I don't have in front of me is the prices.
Oh, okay.
They kind of keep the instructors away from the money, is basically how it works.
Well, I'll tell you folks, you know, it goes to a good cause. I mean, you know, if you've ever, you know, you can watch TV and you see these disaster areas, and the first people that are in there is the American Red Cross. So, you know, it definitely is going for a good cause. You know, one other thing that I wanted to ask you, you know, before we move on from the first aid kits is, you know, would you need a first aid kit for each animal that you have, or would there be enough supplies in one kit to take care of, like, say, two animals, or, you know, is there a limit?
No, you could actually, obviously, if you're running a kennel, you'd want to have more,
right.
And probably want to look at making your own first aid kit, which, mm-hmm. again, that list is available with Red Cross and in the books. But, yeah, one is good because you don't anticipate having more than two emergencies at one time.
Right.
The beauty part about the pet first aid kit that the Red Cross sells is it is a hip sack. So for somebody like yourself, it makes it very easy to travel with and have with you at
that
all times.
Good. And I wanted to get into poisoning a little bit, what we can do, you know, in that kind of an emergency, you know. You know, in between, you know, when you see the dog ingest the thing and getting it to the vet, I mean, we could touch on this real quick because that could be a really long discussion. But real quick, I mean, what kind of recommendations would you make to the owner for such a situation?
You know, that's a really good thing because one of the myths that everybody believes is that if there's an emergency, sure, I can dial 911. And the reality is that, no, you can't. In any kind of emergency with your animal, and specifically poisoning, you really want to get to the specific numbers. And I'm going to give you a list of all of those and then talk about some of the cares. So, again, I said the Red Cross, but in addition, we work very closely with the ASPCA. And their website is www.aspca.org. And there's also aspca.org/toxic plants. Those really are geared to poisoning. But then there's very specific poison control phone numbers that if your dog has ingested something, the first recommendation I would make is to call one of the poison control numbers and tell them specifically what your dog has ingested while you're waiting to get them to the vet.
Right.
One number is 1-888-426-4435.
Can you repeat that number again?
Sure. It's 1-888-426-4435. That's one of the poison control numbers, and that's probably the most often used. But there are three other ones, and I can give you and your listeners those.
Sure.
It's 800-548-2423. I'm sorry, 2423.
Okay.
548-2423. 1-900-680-0000. And then one last one is 888-ANA-HELP. A-N-I-H-E-L-P.
Very good.
Now, there might be a fee associated in calling these, but specifically that first one, the most often used, they're going to be the ones who can help the listener if there is an emergency. And if they do have to call, they want to make sure that if they're calling, they want to have some basic information to be able to give to poison control while they're en route to the hospital. And specifically when you're talking about that, you want to make sure that you give them what kind of a toxin you think they ingested.
Right.
How much? How long ago was it? What are the animal's general vital signs? How are they reacting? And the approximate weight of the animal.
Right. I mean,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if they make a recommendation, then at that point to induce vomiting, and you're not going to induce vomiting unless they specifically say that.
Right.
Then you want to use 1 teaspoon of hydrogen peroxide for every 10 pounds of weight for the dog.
Mm-hmm. So basically, we're not going to do anything until we call one of these numbers and get instructions over the phone on what it is that we need to do for any specific element that they may have ingested.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You want to call poison control immediately, because there are some situations when you don't want to induce and they want to tell you very specifically as to how to handle the situation. They're also going to tell you that if the animal does vomit, you want to collect a sample of the vomiting. So,
good idea.
Everybody always jokes when they look at a pet first aid kit and say, oh, there's a little pooper scooper in there. It's not a pooper scooper. It's a scoop to actually help you if there's a vomiting situation, to be able to scoop up the sample to take it to the vet, so that if you don't know what kind of poison they ingested, but you see signs of poisoning, then you would be able to at least give them more information. And signs of poisoning could be depending on the poison. It could be burn marks around their face. It could be the animal's overall behavior. They could be in and out of consciousness. They could kind of be very lethargic. They could almost seem like they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It could be inflammation. So if it's a food allergy, they could be, they have food allergies same as people do.
Right.
Where their skin starts to break out. The constant itching. They might be pawing at their face. They might have the constant vomiting. They might have the diarrhea. There might be blood in the stool or blood in the vomiting. So these are indicators of poisoning, and then you would make that poison control. Antifreeze, we're going into winter. Antifreeze is a huge issue because antifreeze has a very sweet smell and sweet taste to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody says, well, it's a poison. It's a poison, but it tastes and smells sweet for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's very dangerous. You got to get the dog to the vet immediately if you think your dog ingested antifreeze.
Absolutely.
Very dangerous.
And the key with this is with poisoning control, they will tell you if you're going to induce vomiting, you're going to do this for up to three times while you're transporting, no more than three times, and it would be every 10 to 15 minutes if you have to repeat that hydrogen peroxide. But then no more than three times.
Right.
You really want to get them to the vet as quickly as possible.
Does the American Red Cross offer certification courses in pet first aid?
Well, the class that we do offer is a course. It's anywhere from 3 to 4 hours, and we discuss some of the different emergencies. They learn how to do CPR, so they actually practice on the mannequins. They learn how to do rescue breathing and giving ventilations. They would learn how to do choking. They would learn the different signs of poisoning and shock. And at the end of the course, they do leave with a certification card that says that they did complete all the requirements for that class that day.
Wow. Okay, great. I want to talk a little bit about choking.
I had
a really scary experience with my German Shepherd. He was eating a rawhide bone. And you know when they get nice and soft and yummy. And all of a sudden, he starts running around the room. His body was held close to the floor. His head was held low. And he came to me, he came to my husband, and I noticed he wasn't breathing. Now, lucky for me, I had known how to do the doggy Heimlich maneuver, and I was able to dislodge it. But I think the common thing is, you know, when someone sees their dog choking, you know, they try to remove the object, but, you know, they might go behind them and try to do a human Heimlich maneuver. And I just wanted to kind of go over some protocols of what the American Red Cross suggests if you suspect that your dog is choking on something, or even your cat for that matter.
You know, that's really a great point to go to is the choking, and that is a very common thing for animals. One, you said the bone. Another thing is the toys, because I don't care what they say in the industry, there's no toy that's not indestructible.
Right.
So they're going to chew, they're going to do stuffing, and they get those squeakers out. So you saw the signs, and those are some common signs where the dog's going to panic. They're going to crouch. They're going to try to paw at their face or rub their face up against furniture. They kind of will tell you with the Red Cross protocol is to try to remove the foreign body object from the mouth, and that's why I mentioned those needle-nose pliers. But that's not always the first-case scenario, especially when you have an active choking dog, because there is the possibility of getting bit. So exactly what you said is really kind of a doggy Heimlich, or we call it abdominal thrust, but it's really a series of things, because when you're dealing with a conscious choking person, we do a combination of back blows and abdominal thrusts or chest thrusts if they're too large. When you're dealing with an animal, you're basically dealing with the same thing. So you would start out with, if you can see the object, you can remove it, but then moving on, it would be a whole series. So it would be secular. So you would start by doing the abdominal thrust. So below the rib cage, you would actually do abdominal thrust for the animal in and upward. And you can do those in several different positions. If the dog is too large, you can actually kind of straddle over the dog to find below the rib cage and do the abdominal thrust. If the dog is a smaller dog or a medium dog, you can actually stand behind the dog, pick them up by the scruff of their neck, same thing with a cat, have their body lean up against you to do those abdominal thrusts, again, below the rib cage. And then you would do a cycle. So you would do those abdominal thrusts. Then you would try to lean the dog forward, so pick up his hind legs, so lean him down to see if the object comes out. With a German Shepherd, it's more like that wheelbarrow because the dog is so large.
Right.
And then you would do a series of that cycle. You would do your abdominal thrust, try doing back blows between the shoulder blades. So you would scoop around the neck while they're standing to be supportive of the animal and lean them forward and do your back blows. If nothing's still coming out, you would just keep repeating that cycle of doing the abdominal thrust, your back blows, trying to get the object out, but again, on an act of conscious choking, that could be a 50-50 shot. If your dog is really well behaved and not panicking, then you can stick your hand in their mouth. Otherwise, don't do it if you're going to get bit.
Right.
So just keep doing your abdominal thrust, your leaning them up, your back blows, and keep doing that cycle until the object comes out, or until they go unconscious. Then
right.
once they go unconscious, then it's a completely different cycle.
Right. And you guys would explain that in the class.
Yes, ma'am. We explain that in the class, and again, the www.redcross.org can tell them where to get the classes and where to get the books. The books really are a phenomenal product. It's $17 for either the dog or the cat first aid.
Mm-hmm.
It includes a DVD, and that is the book we use for the class. The book is laid out so that it, in the very beginning, the table of contents is alphabetical based on the emergency. So obviously we can't get to every single emergency in the class.
Right.
They leave with the book so that they have that with them. In the book, there's a little indicator that says, okay, this is also a DVD segment, so they can actually keep watching it. So they can rewatch the choking episodes. They can rewatch the CPR on, so they can practice in the classroom, but then they can keep going back to it from the book and the DVD.
Right. I always, regarding the choking thing, I always recommend, because I'm a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant. So, part of our therapies is, allowing dogs to chew, because it's a great outlet for frustration, and it helps dogs to, channel that chewing to something positive rather than their furniture. But I always recommend never leave your dog with a chew toy, or any toy for that matter, that could be ingested when you're not home. Because, just like what happened to my German Shepherd, if I wasn't there, he would have died, for sure. I mean, he could not breathe. And he was in a complete state of panic. And, that's even worse because now the heart rate's going and, they're trying to breathe and, it's just a bad scene. So, if you're not going to be home, never leave your dog with a chew toy of any kind. Never leave him with a bone, a pig's ear, or anything like that because, these things can happen. I mean, my dog is, 8 years old and he's been eating bones his whole life. And I've never seen it. And I saw it for the first time last year, and I'll tell you, it's very frightening. And thank God I was there. Do you have any pointers for our audience about how to avoid, possible disasters and poisoning and choking and these kinds of things that you can share?
Basically with anything is be prepared, so have that list ahead of time. If you go to that www.aspca.org, it gives an entire list of foods, plants, and all types of choking hazards to really look out for.
Right.
And pet owners, it's kind of the same thing with kids. You have to baby-proof your house. You have to puppy-proof your house as well. One of the things that everybody isn't aware of is, even though, like an aspirin bottle says, it's child-proof, it's not puppy-proof.
No
way. And they can actually chew through a container.
Yeah.
So if you're taking the steps to really invest in an animal, you want to puppy-proof your house. What are poisonings? What are possible dangers? Anything like a child. If it's on the floor, it's theirs.
Right.
So one of the things I just wanted to leave your listeners, I know you're coming down to the wire, it's Halloween, and we need to look at certain specific things for our pets for Halloween as well. And obviously chocolate, we know, is a danger to animals. The decorated pumpkins and candy corns, although not toxic, they will cause digestional problems for your dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Not every dog really likes to be in a costume.
No.
So if you're going to put them in a costume, make sure they really love it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure it's not going to cause undue stress for them.
Right.
And make sure it's not going to impede movement or breathing or their ability to bark.
Right.
And try it out before Halloween so you know. Also, some of the costumes that they have out, a lot of dogs have skin allergies, so they might be sensitive to that and they might wind up having an allergy.
Great advice. Well, listeners, if you want to go take a class at the American Red Cross, you can do so by going to www.redcross.org. www.redcross.org, American Red Cross, or just Red Cross?
Just Red Cross, www.redcross.org.
And they have offices all over the United States. I suggest that you take a class. I know that I'm going to. And, Kathy, I want to thank you so much for joining us in the doghouse today. And I'd like to have you back again, maybe sometime in the future, if you'd be up to it.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Everybody, have a great weekend. Get out there and walk your dog. It's beautiful weather. And we'll see you next week.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout.